All right. It's me between the lines podcast. It's your boy Rez in the building.
You joined with J-Rock.
King Abe is in the building.
And we are back ready to... I didn't let you finish in the building.
Yeah, no. Let that roll, bro. You got to let that roll
out. No, I'm just saying, like, you know, like I always want to be respectful and I didn't want people to think that I just kind of cut you off.
Yeah.
That's cool. It is your podcast.
Yes, we bow down to you. See, we bow down to you.
No, listen.
This is all your equipment.
What? Yeah. Your camera. What? Your laptop.
What? Your mic. What?
Your house.
What? Your AC. What?
Y'all is shit.
Or heat. What? Depending on how hot it is.
Oh shit.
Oh man, yes.
I was gonna say something PC, like everybody should feel that it's their podcast. But I got murdered so bad in that first 30 seconds.
We had to rip you for that one.
Yeah, you can take over.
Speak Between the Lines podcast. We are in the building, episode 17. How are you guys feeling?
Man, doing great.
Yeah.
You fucked it up too.
Who did?
You.
Okay.
Oh, Rock did. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, we got to make that evident. Because I asked two of you, said, you. I made sure you pointed that nigga. Yeah. Not me.
You know, you want to say feeling good, feeling great. He was just like,
yeah, great. Yeah, I'm great.
Yes.
No, we good. That's right.
Gucci, rock. Man. So we're in the building. Everybody's feeling good. Shit. I don't have a win or loss.
No wins, no losses. Let's just move.
Yep. Let's just roll with it. Unless... Yep. You know, Rock had a bag full of the mugs last week.
You know what I'm saying? It has been a good week, man. So I have yet another win for you guys.
Okay.
All right. So, like I said, you know, my nephew's birthday was a couple weeks ago, right? So because of that, we all got together. And as a family, all my brothers and sisters, we're all working towards building a better relationship. So we're... working on planning monthly outings so we can all socialize and work on our relationship with bonding together.
Okay, that's dope. That's dope.
Good for you guys. Good for you guys. Man, you know what?
Oh, now you got to win.
Yeah.
No, I don't. It's actually a loss. And I was going to mention it last week, but I was so proud of, you know, me making baby food. You know, I had a friend pass. A good friend of mine passed away not too long ago, like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was crazy because it was like, this was like my boy in high school, in middle school. And it's like, it's crazy because it's like you see, like there's certain people in your life you think you're going to just like grow up with. Yeah. And you're always, whether, you know, you guys disconnect or you remain friends throughout that entire time. It's like always people you think that you're going to see when you're older, you know what I'm saying? What happens to them? And it's like, it was crazy that it happened so suddenly. And it's like, there's nothing really more that puts your life into perspective and really just makes you think that you could go any day and life is not promised. There's nothing more that puts that into perspective than seeing somebody you care about in a casket, especially somebody your age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because nigga, that could have been me. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It was a loss. I'm definitely gonna miss the guy. You know, I send love and energy to his family. I don't wanna beat down the podcast. Right. But you know, that, you know, I was kinda dealing with that for a little bit. And
how you holding up?
Good. I was 12 the first week. When I first found out, which was like a few weeks ago, like somebody hit me up and was like, "Hey yo, what happened to such and such?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, everybody's saying rest in peace on this Facebook page. And I'm like, "What?" So I go
that's
there.
That's when I've had so much of that. Like a chick I went to college with, you know, cool chick. Then 2 years later, nothing but RIP. It's like, wait, what happened?
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's crazy. Like in any day, like, and it's crazy how, like I said, I found out it was just sporadic, like out of the blue. So yeah, man, it was lost, but I'm holding up. Well, you know, the one thing I told myself, because I said something at the wake on Friday, and I was like, you know, I was kind of talking about, you know, different stuff that we used to do growing up, you know, kicking it and, you know, doing all this other stuff. And I was like, you know, it messed me up when I found out, but it's the positive energy of the memories that I have.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That really just is like, okay, he's good. I'm going to be good because I got these positive memories of us enjoying each other in our lives. You know what I mean? So,
well, just on the sidebar, because the timing is ironic, because I think that same week we were doing the 1 year anniversary for one of my friends who passed away last year. And
it's been a year.
It's been a year.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's been a year. It doesn't even seem like it.
Yeah, time flies. So we actually had a get together, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, and it was like on a Sunday, and we were basically just discussing like the things that we loved most about her. And just some of the things that she's been able to accomplish. And one of the things I remember saying to the group is she had this uncanny ability to get people that normally would never be in the same place at the same time to associate with each other.
Oh, wow.
Like, completely.
Nah,
like,
I agree with that.
There's no way in hell that I would typically be in the same place as some of the people there, right? But there's so much love in that room. And she's the one that brought that forth. And I would just say that, you know, we can get off of it, but just the time that we have like that, that's something that I aspire to become better at. Cause I'm not that person.
No.
Right.
I'm not that person. And the amount of influence that you can leave on this world, like she's younger than everybody in this room. She's younger than all of us.
Mm.
And she's gone. And it's, and think about it, like, we're all a year older. She was a year younger, and she was already younger than us. So she was taken from this world abruptly. And I just think we just need to kind of level set and just make sure that we're doing what we keep our eyes on the prize of what we're really here to do. And that's help each other and to grow and to love each other. I mean, wasn't that the two main commandments is love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not to take people to church, but it's just like, yeah, we don't know. We don't know when time's up. So
that's real talk. That was nice, man.
So, man, like,
yeah,
you really messed me up. Cause I forgot about that. I hate to say it in those terms.
No, I feel you. I get what you're saying.
It's like, wow. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you said there's nothing that makes you put things in perspective, like seeing your friend in a casket, I remember going to her funeral. I went to two funerals. She had two funerals because she had that many people that loved her.
Right.
So one funeral was in Tennessee. We drove all the way to Tennessee for her funeral. And the moment I walked into the room, it crushed me. Like, the weight.
Yeah.
Like, it crushes you.
Yeah, it does.
So, as soon as you said it, I went right back to that moment.
Yeah, man, it does. It does. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. I don't know
how to segue off this.
The one thing I will say about that situation is, you know, looking back on, like, damn, I think probably four episodes ago, we were talking about the defining success.
Right.
And with the poem that you had or the verse.
You know, I actually found that author.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Posted that on Facebook. But the last one is the fact that you can leave the world a better place than what it was before you.
Right.
The fact that she was able to do that.
Right.
The fact that even though she's no longer with us, she still leaves something for us to aspire to, is a testament of who she was.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something that we all need to work towards. If, you know, if today was my last day, you know, would my life have meant something?
Right.
Real talk. Real talk. Tell your loved ones that you love them. You haven't talked to them in a while.
Yeah. My pastor said, give them the roses while they can smell them.
Yes. Straight up. Straight up. So let's roll off of that. If you guys have any questions or want to chop it up with us with what we talk about or want to talk about this or anything else, hit us up on our social media, Speak Between the Lines, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. What you guys want to roll into first today?
I'm going to jump it off. So I throw people on the bus on this podcast, so I just realized that. But one of my cousins.
What did you say?
Yes, you do.
I throw people under the bus a lot in this podcast.
Oh. Oh, well, who was the first guy he threw under the bus? J-Lo? Have you talked to him?
Oh, shit. Episode 2. What happened to J-Lo? Damn.
Yeah, what happened to that nigga?
Man.
Wow.
Apparently,
friend of the show.
I'm assuming he doesn't listen to it because like, I haven't heard him say anything
about
it.
Friend of the show. Yeah, problem prayer. I wouldn't either.
Heard that one episode and
goes, oh, change my name.
But yeah, go ahead.
We good?
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Cool.
That's
so disrespectful.
Yes.
Little asshole. People watching the video will get it.
All right. So I was talking to my, one of my cousins, right? And she was like, hey, I want you to co-sign for me getting a car.
Wait, what happened to J-Lo?
Wait, whoa. Yeah, how did you segue off of J-Lo like that?
I was just going, moving it forward.
Oh, so you don't want to talk about J-Lo?
I mean, well, nothing happened. He never brought it up, so I'm assuming he never heard that episode.
No, we were just checking on his well-being. You know, we've been talking.
Yeah, that was like, your boy. Yeah, that's your boy. Do y'all chop it up still?
Yeah. Y'all still friends?
I mean, it's cool.
Oh, podcast wars.
Podcast wars.
Another casualty of the podcast.
Yeah. Don't fuck with the podcast. Can't fuck with you.
It's funny how people get emotional over these things.
Over a podcast.
Yeah, I know.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Lost tapes. Yeah.
Lost tapes.
All right, finish the story. I got something. I can't say it while we're recording, but I got something I want to ask Rez. But go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
No, I can't.
No, you can't. He
said on the last episode he wouldn't talk about
it. Yeah. Oh, okay, okay.
I had
okay.
him sign a non-disclosure. Yeah. Had an NDA.
I got you. So, my cousin wanted me to co-sign for a car, right?
Right, right.
And I immediately said no.
This is your first cousin.
I know a cousin.
No, this has to be your first cousin.
No,
ain't no just a cousin finna ask you to co-sign a damn
some
car.
Some random ass cousin just asked you to co-sign
a cousin. A cousin.
Okay.
Asked me to co-sign for a vehicle. Okay. Right. And immediately I said no. Didn't even think about it.
Okay.
Well, that's not true. Well, if you're listening, you'll find out. I said that my credit was high enough, but the real answer is no. But
time out.
No.
The deception.
It gets better. It gets better.
I said my credit wasn't high enough, but the real answer was no. Damn, that's some big shit.
Bro, okay. I just want this. Okay, go ahead.
So.
Yo, that was funny as hell. Go ahead.
So
I'm interested now.
Fast forward a week or 2 weeks later, she's like, I need to get a payday loan. I want you to co-sign for it.
What?
Nigga, she wants you to write your signature on everything.
Nigga, I said, number one, I will never sign a payday loan because the interest rates are ridiculous.
Yep.
And then she tried to switch it. Like, well, no, it's not a payday loan. She gave the name of the company. No, it's still a payday loan. I'm not stupid.
What's Ace?
Right, yeah, which one?
I'm not going to put them out there.
I would, because, you know, I'm going to shit on them anyway.
Well, then people can figure out which cousin it is.
Oh.
So I'm trying to be...
Protector. Yep. That's,
so...
That was quick thinking. Go ahead.
Because I did not understand at all.
I didn't either.
But in talking to her, it's like, well, here's the thing. And I want to go and break... I know your answer, because you're Mr. Non-Credit.
Oh, I'm signing.
Oh, you would have signed it? You would have co-signed?
Yeah. I did it.
Wait, hold on.
Fuck out of here.
Finish your thought.
So
you
it's like.
Ask us if we were
to. Well, co-sign, I mean, when is it appropriate to co-sign?
Shit, when it's your spouse. The end. The end. Everything else is like circumstantial, but. No. Why? For what?
Okay, I already know Rez's answer.
Shit, nigga, I co-sign everything. I co-sign all the time.
No, you co-sign opinions. I'm talking about credit.
That's credit to me.
I'm not finna do
that's
this.
Your credit.
I'm not gonna play with this.
That's your credibility, nigga.
I'm not finna do
this,
nigga.
Co-sign.
No, for a loan.
Yeah, for a loan.
Whether it's auto, home, furniture, anything. For a loan.
Who is this person?
It doesn't matter.
Who is this person to me?
It's me. I'm asking you.
Oh, hell no, bro. Right. Not after you shitted on me at the top of this episode. You blew your signature.
Shit. I mean, I blew mine too, shit.
Right. Me and you are assed out.
You two niggas get nothing.
God damn.
I'll come pick you up.
Cosine. Okay. So real quick, just explain what cosigning is exactly.
Right. So, and the reason why I want to talk to you guys about it, because it made me realize, not just this person, because I had people in the past ask me to cosign stuff or two. People don't realize what cosigning actually means.
Okay. So let's talk about it.
So what the lie that dealerships and financing people tell you is this: well, your credit's not high enough, so you need some money.
Are you okay?
I'm sorry.
Are you okay? This nigga almost left us. What was that?
Shit.
Am I?
Yo, that nigga like David Stern meme.
Nah, shit, nah.
You remember that David Stern meme when he drank the water?
Bro, I tried to hold that shit in. My fault. I'm shit choking on water.
All right,
pause. But shit, it's like, fault. You know, I tell you, it's like either your credit's not high enough,
all right,
your credit history isn't long enough, or your income isn't high enough.
Right.
For us to trust you with X miles, whatever the loan's for.
Right.
So they're like, well, we need somebody who has higher credit, higher income, or longer history to co-sign, saying that you're worthy of the loan.
Right.
But that's bullshit.
Okay.
What it is they don't trust you with whatever you're getting, whether it's a vehicle, furniture, house, or just a loan for cash.
Right.
They're saying that based off your history, you don't have history of paying stuff off.
Yeah, you're not going to pay it off.
So we need somebody who has a history of paying it off to say that if you don't pay it,
we gone.
I'm responsible for it.
Right.
That's what co-signing is. Co-signing is you getting it for the person. You're saying that I'm responsible if this person isn't responsible for, let's say it's a car. If you're saying if that person can't make the payments, I'm going to step up and make the payments for them.
Right.
And people don't realize that's what co-signing is. They think is, well, you need help improving your credit, so I'm going to help you out. Mm. But it's saying if you're not responsible for it, I'm going to pay it off.
No. So, I stick with my answer. If it's not my wife, everything else is circumstantial. Like, my sister has to be in dire need. My mom has to be in dire need of it. Other than that, it's like, nah, B. But then also it depends on the amount too. Like, I'm not co-signing a car for nobody if it's not my wife. But like, not even a payday loan.
Well, especially not a payday loan.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think of an amount too that I would be like, it's Rock. He needs X amount of dollars.
Nigga, if I cannot give you that shit in cash, you ain't getting it.
And that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Like, that's what I was thinking. Like, if I can't give it to you, then you're just not getting it from
me. And so like, and that was my mind when my cousin asked me for the petty loan. I was like, well, how much is it? Can I just loan it to you myself?
How much was it if it's not snitching?
I'm not going to put that out.
Okay. Because
I'm being
for a car, right?
I'm being very PC right now.
Okay. But it was for a car.
The initial one was.
Right. So I'm pretty sure it was a nice car. Okay. Never mind. It's fine.
Yo, but everybody has different
tastes. I'm not trying to expose nobody.
Yeah, everybody has different tastes when it comes to cars. So, like, I see. You know what I mean?
Does this cousin listen to this podcast like this? Or do people that know the situation listen to this podcast like this?
Probably so.
So they're going to know who you're talking about anyway.
Oh, yeah. You are.
I mean, hey, if that one person knows, that's fine.
Well, you dry snitched.
You did kind of dry snitch.
Yeah, you just kind of.
That's fine. Okay, well, give us kind of like a number so at least we know what. You don't have to be the number.
On. You remember that fucking Dr. Seuss book? Snitches get
snitches.
By Dr. Seuss. Lessons from the street.
Lessons from the street. Snitches get snitches.
Yo, that's a classic book, man. Every first grader should read that.
Yes, nigga. Straight up.
Right. So, what I'm doing, I'm going to give an example of what I've done, right? So, when my car broke down, I didn't have the $500 to get it fixed. So I borrowed it from my brother.
Right.
So let's say the loan was for the amount that I didn't have for the $500.
Okay.
And what if you didn't have the money? It's not a, it's a medium range. It's not a high amount. It's not over 1,000. Would you consider doing that for a close friend or relative?
I'll let Abe go first.
Would I let somebody borrow the money?
Well, no, if you didn't have it, would you consider co-signing?
No, I wouldn't. I'm sorry. Because I already don't have the money.
But I need to get around, Abe.
Well, I don't have the money. I'm sorry. You better go cut some grasses or some shit, my nigga. Because I don't have it.
I was telling a nigga to drive Uber, but he ain't got the car.
Yeah, he ain't got a car, so he can't do it. I can't be. I'm sorry. Nah, there's no way. Because if what I can't pay you, so what makes you think that I can pay the loan back for co-signing? That don't make sense.
Well, first of all, nigga, you can't pay the loan. Period.
Exactly.
Right. So that's automatically go fall on us.
You can't pay it. Well, I don't have the money to let you borrow it.
How could you afford it?
Well,
or are you saying your credit?
Right.
You're saying so you can afford it, but the credit's not good enough.
Right. So for the perfect example, I'm in the process of repairing my credit.
Got it.
My credit is trash.
Yep.
Financially, I can afford to make the payments on it.
Yep.
But because of my credit history,
yep,
you're not going to trust me with it. But you know that I can afford it.
Yeah.
Would you consider it?
No.
Mm-mm.
Catch the bus, nigga. It's 2018, dog. There's so many ways. You can Uber your ass to work.
All that.
For real. You can catch the dark train. Like, yeah. Nigga, there's multiple. You can, what's that when, nigga, carpool your monkey ass down to work.
But nobody lives close to me.
Huh?
Nobody lives close to me to carpool with.
Oh, well, that was your fault. You chose your geographical location. But I will do this. I wouldn't. So let's say you said $500 or you want to use $1,000.
No, we can say with the $500.
Okay. So if it was $500, I did not have the $500. I would definitely not co-sign for you. However, what I would do is find 10 people to give you $50. And we would just rock like that. Because you're more apt to give a nigga $50 back than $500.
Because here's the thing about this. And what you just said, and what Rock just said, you may have the money when you're asking for it, but shit might come up to where now you don't have.
Right, money. I have it today, but in 2 months, what happens?
Exactly, you don't have it, and so, I'm upset. You waiting 2 months to pay me back $500. One, first and foremost.
Yeah.
When how long is supposed to get your car fixed? How long is supposed to take to get your car fixed?
An hour for them to do repairs. Like, what do you mean?
Like, well, because you said
you said you borrowed it from your brother.
Yeah.
Okay, so. I forgot my point.
You're talking about how long is it going to take him to repair the vehicle?
No, how long would it take you to pay me back?
Oh, I see what you're saying. The $500. So, an example of you borrowing a $500 from your brother, how long would it have taken you to get the money back?
Right.
I mean, how aggressively do you want it?
Are we talking big worm aggressive?
Yeah, because you said you have it, so okay. I'm expecting to get it back immediately almost.
Well, it... From the situation with my brother, I waited until I got a big lump sum. And I told him up front, I will give you this money on X day. X day was like 3 months. But I came up front knowing that this is the day that I'm going to give you the money.
You're gonna give it to him. And you kept your word.
And on that day, the money was in account. You didn't have to ask me for it. But let's say I'm asking you. And I'll say, well, I give the money in 2 months. I give you $250 this month, $250 next month.
You know what my problem is with this? It's almost like you're treating the symptom and not the actual illness. The illness is your ass don't have the credit. But you don't have the credit because of behavior.
Because of decisions you made.
Right. So I'm pretty sure that if you're promising me, hey, I'm going to pay you back in 2 months, I'm going to pay you back in 5 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
At some point, your decision-making skills are going to get you into the same situation and you're not going to pay me back. How do I get to that conclusion? The same way the bank got to the conclusion that you needed a co-signer. Yep. Nigga. Like, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, bro. Nah, I can't.
Because one thing that real talk, most people can relate to, you give somebody money and then on Friday they at the club.
Oh, yeah, that shit bro. Is maddening. That shit, especially when, hey, man, I promise I'm going to get this money back to you on next day.
And they
say, come, I see you got some new Jordans.
And they be on
Yo, face. My nigga, what's up?
Dog. Bro. They will be spending the money, and you'll be watching it real time on Facebook Live and IG.
Straight up.
And then when you ask them about it, they get attitude about it.
Man, because I'm short, dog.
Oh, you short? You finna be short about them J's. That's what you finna be short up out of. Nah, dog. If I don't have it, then I just don't have it.
Nah, bro.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. And sometimes, shit, if I got it, I ain't got it. Because I'm not even guaranteed. I'm not even sure you're going to pay me back. There's people I've loaned money to that, nigga.
That's a good
bro,
point.
Bro, I have not seen that shit. And I'm talking about it's been years, bro. I got an example just like that. You know, I got an example just
boy,
like that.
Boy, I got scared to a motherfucker.
Nah, because here's the thing. Because you brought up something. And yeah, I don't know why I didn't think about this while he was telling me an example, because it's almost the exact same example. I didn't mean to scare you, by the way.
I thought I was got hit.
There was a friend of mine who
I got hit.
There was a friend of mine who needed money because he was going to lose his car. It was my graduation. I was going to graduate. So the money I had was...
It was college. Had to be.
Was it college?
It can't be high school.
It was college. It was college. It was college. Okay. I want to say, yeah, I was going to go
Nick,
Texas.
You using your car in high school? I'm going to call your mom.
I know, right? So he sends out a mass text like, hey, man, I need X amount of dollars. I'm going to lose my car. Anything will help. So I text him directly. I was like, say, bro, do you still need it? It's like, yes. I was like, all right, I got it, but like I need it back. No, he said, I was going to give it to him. He said, all right, I'll pay you back when I get paid this next Friday. I was like, okay, because I need it because... Like, this is my graduation money. Like,
you
I need
came this, off the graduation
this
money?
This was my boy, so I thought he had me back. You know what I'm saying?
And your
so
boys ain't always like, your boys.
Dog. And it was dumb on my part. Somebody's going to listen to me like, nigga, you stupid. I was. So I was like, hey.
Well, you were fresh out of college.
Yeah. And I was like, I need this back because I need this money to get my cap, my gown, and all this other stuff. He was like,
Oh my God. Nick, you really mean graduation money.
Yeah, graduation. Yeah, straight up.
Wow.
Okay. Graduation
carry
stuff.
Carry on.
Yeah, so ahead. He's like, all right, I got you. I'll get back to you. Mind you, like, I wasn't strapped. Like, it wasn't my last amount of money. Like, I had money, but it was like this money that I'm giving you is allocated for something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so he's like, all right, swing by the crib, get it. Ain't seen that money ever.
Have you seen him?
Nigga?
Ain't seen him.
Okay, that makes more sense. Okay.
ain't seen him. So it's
you're
like,
not going to see him.
And they graduated and moved.
Nigga, for real. I've heard from him.
Send him a link to this episode.
yes.
But I think it's like I've heard from him and we've talked, but it's like so much time has passed. It's like it's not even nothing to just even trip about anymore. But
nigga,
like
you almost swung on me just remembering.
That is factual. That's not untrue.
because the example he said made sense to a situation that I actually dealt with in the past, and I didn't think about it until just now. When I guess I almost hit you. I mean, I almost hit you. I was like, oh, by the way, but
it was like the Michael Jackson snap.
Yeah,
and he went through the whole. Like,
but yeah, man, I'd say that to say just, yeah, no, if I got it, sometimes you may not even still get it.
It is worth mentioning, though. You said it's not worth mentioning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, technically, there's interest. how long have you been out of college?
Nigga, it's definitely worth it.
Shit, even if you gave him conservative rates.
Nigga, shit. Some, because I was just like, man,
but nah, I'm man. Like, the only thing I co-sign is statements and opinions. That's
yeah,
it.
Nah. Yeah, no, I'm not putting my signature on. If I ain't got it, I don't have it.
Yeah, at all. I'm not. Yeah. I'm not. I'm
sorry, J Rock.
Yeah, I think you did the right thing though by not co-signing her.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Because that puts me in a dangerous situation. Because now I have to worry about for however long the installments is. Do you have it? How are you spending your money? You know,
and stuff comes up,
right? And it may not be due no fault of your own. What if your employer just closed down?
You get sick.
You know,
go to the hospital.
The crazy thing is, though, we don't protect our own. And I know somebody will hear that and they'll be like, well, you know, yeah, we don't protect our own, so you should co-sign them. No, nigga, we don't protect our own, so you should not co-sign them. Like, the thing is, you got to look out for the community. Come on, man. How many people we know that is like, my mama or my grandma got cable in my name? Because they couldn't qualify for it, and then they messed up.
You honor her as a foundation.
T'Challa!
Or you honor her as a foundation of the family. Nah, go ahead.
Like, oh my God, this episode was so
Black Jeopardy, baby.
So good, man. He was like, a couple of questions.
And she will probably put unnecessary like raisins.
I have the sense that this white woman...
This Karen
is not seasoned her food.
And she does. It's just a little bit of salt. and no paprika.
And something unnecessary, like raisins.
So I would be like, hell nah, Kevin.
Hell nah, Karen.
Keep your bland ass potato salad to yourself.
And he was so happy he came out. He was like, yes! Yes!
Oh, man.
All right, but we don't protect our own. Like, we got to look out for our own community. Because what we'll do is, like, let's say I was the one that needed the credit, right? I needed the cosign. I know I ain't got my shit right, but I'm going to go to you as my brother to be like, hey, cosign me. I know I don't have my stuff right. I know I have good intentions of getting you the money, but I also know I don't have a good history of paying the money on time, which is why I need to cosign.
Right.
But I'm going to call you a fake ass nigga and a fake ass homeboy if you don't cosign me, because I don't think you looking out for me. In real life, I'm actually fucking up more black people in my community because I'm asking you to jeopardize your financial situation.
Because my shit not in order.
Right. And
we don't look out for our own. That's stupid.
And another reason why I refuse to cosign for people, when I was like 19, 20, one of my friends was trying to get a vehicle, right? Mm-hmm. He said, I give you $100 if you cosign for me a vehicle. Whether I get approved or not, I give it to you. At the time, I knew my credit was shit. Okay, cool, I'll do it. I knew this shit wouldn't get approved.
You had no idea how vicious these banks be. They be like, oh, I'm going to get two of y'all niggas?
Hell yeah.
Oh,
you got somebody to co-sign your shit?
So we're going to put you in an 8-year loan.
So I got that $100. Went ahead, signed for it. It got declined like I knew it would. Mm. So fast forward 2 years, they sold the vehicle to somebody else. They're not making payments on it. They called me about that vehicle. They said, hey, we still let you co-sign for this vehicle.
Skirt.
2 years. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, that bitch was declined. Who owns it? It's like, that's not the person I co-signed for. You need to call that person back and make sure that my information is off that loan.
Nigga, bruh. You still got called even though they denied your shit?
I got called for a vehicle I was declined for that they sold to somebody else that they weren't making payments on.
These niggas are rude. When y'all finally realize that the bank is not there to help you,
yeah,
you'll do a lot better in life. These niggas is not finna help you. The lender is not trying to hook you up. But, oh, man, he gave me a great deal, man. I only pay $250 a month. How long, nigga? Well, it's 2018. I'll be done by 2026.
Boy.
Nigga.
Right. And here's the thing about finance companies. They make their living by giving you money.
Yes.
If they don't trust you,
bruh,
the people who spend billions of dollars to market get a loan first. If they don't trust you to make the payment on time, if they say that you need somebody else, it's probably for a reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If anybody ever tells you you need a cosigner, that means they don't trust you with money. That's what the real, like you said it at the top of the episode. That's what that means. So if the bank don't trust you with money, why should I?
No argument there.
I don't
make more than the bank does.
The bank has a better shot of absorbing that hit better than I do.
In 7 years, I still want my money. I don't give a fuck how long it's gone by. I ain't Abe, damn it.
Yeah. I'd be like, yo, did you know I have a podcast?
Man.
Hey.
Yes, listen to episode 17.
Right. Send
yeah, we actually just dropped our latest episode. Shit,
before we even drop, I'm going to send this nigga the link.
The rough copy. Give him the rough draft.
Are y'all IG friends? Facebook friends? You need to at that nigga.
Shit, I don't know. I ain't heard from that nigga in so long.
We're going to find his ass.
So kind of just going back to Rock's question, is there anybody y'all would co-sign for?
The only thing I'm co-signing for is a house.
Okay.
And that's my wife.
Okay.
That's it?
No, the spouse is the only person who I would consider. Because when you're married, everything is supposed to be joint anyway.
Yeah.
So you're really signing for yourself.
Basically.
No argument there.
Like everybody else.
They're going to chase you if she is not on her shit.
Oh, they're going to find you anyway.
They're going to find you.
Yeah. So, like, everything else is, I'm not co-signing.
Not going to be able to do it.
Now, the goal is to make sure I have enough money where, and here's my thing. I don't loan people money. I'd rather say I'm going to give it to you. Because I know you're not going to give it back.
Yeah, my mom taught me that too.
Because especially with smaller amounts, you can mess up a friendship.
Yep.
Hey, man, let me hold $50 so I get paid. Nah, man, nah, don't worry about it. It's yours. You can have it. Don't pay me back.
And that's kind of the route. And that's why I haven't hit due back, because it was like, I'm going to just chop it up to whatever. Whatever it is, it's going to make me forget about it. And so that's kind of the route I ended up taking.
No. But you didn't tell him you can have this money. Yeah, you said, I need this money back.
Yeah, that's different.
By this day's passed, I still need that money. If you told him, that would be different.
You got to go in with that mindset like, okay, look, I'm giving this to you as a gift. I'm not expecting this back from you. God will bring it back to me some other way.
Right.
If you go in with that mindset, more power to you. But that nigga, you said, hey, I'm going to give you this money, but I need it back for graduation. How long has it been since you got that cap and gown?
Oh, nigga, years.
Okay. I need my money. Give me my money.
Yeah. I mean, shit.
We ain't talking about the credit score. This shit don't disappear in 7 years.
Yeah. This shit don't fall off.
How long would y'all chase that nigga?
Is he still breathing?
Yes, he's still breathing.
Okay, then. Oh, we still chasing. Shit, Meek Mill got chases.
So $50, y'all chasing him. Until
I don't think a cap and gown costs $50.
I mean, I'd give him all of my graduation money.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just throwing a number out there.
It had to be a little higher.
Oh, okay.
It had to be a lot higher.
Yeah,
like I'd be a couple hundred.
Now, if it was like $55, then yeah.
No, it was like $80.
$80?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on your ass.
that $30 makes a difference on it.
Yeah, I was going to say it had to be a little higher. Hey, no, I was going to 55.
You know how many times I can fill up with $80?
$80, nigga? That's two tanks of gas.
Yeah. I don't know. I just kind of forgot about it. I mean, I didn't forget about it, but it don't bother me
that
as much.
That shit was uprooted from your soul.
Yeah. But, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, can't do shit about it now.
I mean, you could.
You better hit that taken. I have a certain set of skills. Good luck.
I will find you and I will kill you. Alright, man.
Yeah, that co-sign shit is trash.
Oh wait, I do have one last question. So how did the kinfolk take it when you said no?
I mean, how else can you take it? It don't change my answer.
They could be offended.
I wouldn't give a shit personally, but okay.
You got family that listens to the show.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, because he's saying a lot. Yeah, you're saying kinda, a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, they just said, you know, they took it okay. Like, okay, that's fine.
Wait, they took the lie?
Yeah.
Okay, because you told them you didn't have the credit.
You said you didn't have the credit.
Well, they took the lie, great. Now, once this episode drops,
though,
I'll probably have a win or a loss. I'm going to have a win or loss next week. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, we might be revisiting this soon.
Yeah, because they're going to go back and be like, yo, you know that nigga Jim just meant no, right?
He had the credit. Ask him, no, look, listen to this episode. He had it.
Sound clip. Matter of fact, I may make that a hot take. Okay. I may. It's not guaranteed, so if it's not out there.
Man, yeah, I ain't got nothing else on that. Okay. I guess we want to know y'all's thoughts on co-signing. Do we?
Yes.
Do we care?
What is the worst thing that you co-signed somebody on? The dumbest thing that you co-signed on?
That's a good one. Hit us up. That'd Facebook, be funny. Twitter, Instagram, Speak Between the Lines.
So
we'll have video soon. I just want to kind of throw that out there.
Oh yeah,
we hadn't said that, but
yeah. Shout out to the video.
Yeah.
Well, we got a great cameraman here today. The tripod.
Yes.
A little more consistent than the last one.
Sticky.
Hey. It's a little more consistent.
You know, I don't know what happened.
I was definitely gonna flame your boy.
No. Go ahead.
But time has passed. Has he?
Nick won't even look me in the eye.
So he hadn't said nothing to you, bro?
Nah. He'd be like, hey, what's up? What's up, Rez?
Like, so...
Oh, he even called you Rez?
Yeah.
Like, so, like, we didn't just ask this nigga to record us and put us on YouTube. He just disappeared, and then, like, that conversation didn't happen at all?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, that's why. Anyway, but yeah, we'll be having video soon, hopefully, if it works out.
But. Well, we got a dependable cameraman.
Yeah, my.
The tripod. Exactly.
Good job.
Hey.
But there's some so I went to a marriage summit yesterday that I kind of wanted to chop it up about. And basically it's done at I keep forgetting the name of the church. What is it? Greater?
No, nigga.
Oak Cliff Baptist Fellowship.
No.
Oh my Oak God. Cliff Fellowship Baptist, whatever.
Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship.
Bible Fellowship, that's what it is. But it's called Rooted, right? And it's basically just talking about the marriage and being rooted in the right things to actually have a healthy, long-lasting marriage to combat the staggering numbers that are the divorce rate, basically. Right. So it's a lot of ministers and their wives that discuss certain things. Actually, your girl from, what's that reality TV show?
I don't know.
Mary, the...
gospel singer.
Yes.
Shackles on my feet so I can dance.
Her and her, her and her husband was there. The one that cheated on her. Yeah, that was crazy. Yo.
That segment was funny.
They talked about that?
Yes, like openly. Because, you know, it came out on the show. That he had been cheating on her for like years. And so she just kind of broke down what it was like to go through that. It was weird watching him try to... He's really walking a tightrope because he was saying some offensive shit. And there was like women that was like, you low down dirty nigga, right? But then he would bring God in it. And so the women couldn't really say nothing. Because it was like, well...
Smart.
Because he was like, at one point, I saw the... He said, when I finally confessed my sins to my wife, I saw the devil come off of my body.
You know? Oh, that's how he cleaned it up.
Is that how you cleaned it up? I mean, it worked. It was. Oh. I was like, oh,
boy, he sounded like Charlemagne.
That's the game plan.
Standing ovation.
So that's how you.
So,
do it.
But
you take notes.
You blame it on the devil, and then you say the devil has been lifted up off of you.
Yeah.
After you say you done did your dirt,
it's almost like a way of advocating responsibility.
redirecting it to the devil.
It wasn't me. It was the devil. It's like, okay,
the devil in me.
Yo,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he co-signed that motherfucker. Like, nigga, that was you.
God, dog.
Oh, man. But one of the pastors, he bodied this. Oh, my God. Him and his wife, they are funny as hell. They like just straight joke. So anyway, they were talking about how they got together in their relationships, and one of the things that they brought up was scars. Now, how they got to this was the pastor. He wasn't a pastor then. He was like in his, I think he was like 19 or 20. He talked about being addicted to pornography, right? And how that was a problem once they got married, and how they had to combat that. And he had to actually break down and be honest to his wife that he was addicted to porn.
Mm.
And he said, that's embarrassing. He actually got caught watching porn, right? By his wife on multiple occasions. And he just talked about how embarrassing that was. I love the way he spoke, because it was funny. It was like all relatable shit. Like the shit, it was just mad funny. I'm gonna try to get the DVD. And have like a couple's night over so we can like watch the whole marriage summit.
Y'all have fun.
Yeah, if you let it rock out,
you can come.
Man,
definitely left that nigga out.
Yeah,
a little awkward on this couch.
No, damn.
No, please go ahead.
I feel bad. No,
twice in one podcast.
I almost said something, but go ahead.
No, go ahead. Let it fly. Flame.
I was gonna say, you know, we got somebody for you, you know, if you want.
Oh,
I don't want to go to that.
That went back a couple episodes.
Finish him.
We do have someone for you.
But go ahead. No, I want because I'm interested to hear. I want to hear what he said about that and having an addiction to pornography.
So basically, he was saying that one of the hardest things was communicating that. Because, you know, it's something that's shameful. And he was hiding behind the fact that it's just like, you know, it wasn't even hiding behind the fact. So here's what happened. He actually got raped when he was eight. He was sexually abused by a neighbor across the street. And he said he watched his first porn when he was 12 or 13. And so what he ended up doing was, he would watch porn to get away from that feeling of being violated, right?
Ooh.
And it became a symptom of his. So the real problem was the actual violation, the rape.
Not the pornography.
Yeah. Right. The symptom was the porn.
Mm.
Right? So that's where he led into. And he talked about being able to disassociate himself from what's going on. So he was saying when he was being molested, that's a really vile thing that happens to you, and people that have done that, have been through that, tend to have an ability to disassociate themselves emotionally from what's physically or emotionally going on at the time. So he did that, and it ended up translating into other aspects of his life. For example, when he would get a spanking from his dad, he made a joke about it, but he was saying that he would disassociate himself mentally from the whooping while it was going on, and all he would be thinking about is what his mom's cooking for dinner.
Yeah, you got to, like, that shit hurt.
And so, yeah, it does. And so he was saying, you know, his dad would finish spanking him and then go to his mom and be like, man, I don't even know if that worked. And he was like, I just mentally disassociated myself from what was going on because I learned that when I was taken advantage of. And it just bled over to other parts of his life. So it also bled over to the marriage, because when problems would happen, he would mentally disassociate himself from what is actively going on wrong in the marriage so that he's not hurt. Mm. So all this is going on.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was deep. Dog, it was dope. That's what I'm saying. Like,
wow. I wish we missed that.
Well, I'm going to try to get a DVD for everybody.
I hate we missed that.
And I'll
watch it.
Matter of fact, when it comes out, we can go back and put a link in the podcast for, like, the website they can get it from.
Okay.
But I mean, it was dope, and they do it annually. So next year, Jay, we'll have you hooked up,
you know,
right? Because you don't have to be married to go there. You just have to be with a spouse that actually you are interested in. So don't be bringing the side chicks up there. It's not a good look.
They don't know. Anyway.
But the point is, the point that I want to get to. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to get good. Because even as somebody who's single, there's a lot of good material in those type of events, because you learn different things to look for, different things to avoid,
mm-hmm.
and different pitfalls. Because I remember one time at one community, they were talking about marriage as well. And they're like, well, one of the things as a couple is you have to know yourself, who you are as an individual, that way you can find yourself as a couple.
Yeah.
So from somebody who's single, it's like, oh, well, I need to go and knock this step out before I even look at marriage.
Yeah. Right?
Because that's the first half of it. So
right. There's
a lot of, you know, good information in those type of events. It benefits everybody, not just only people who are married or.
Yeah, we were just trolling you.
And the steps. No, but. Yeah,
we were just trolling.
I'll just play time while you know.
No, but that was a good.
while I was off screen.
Yeah. that was a good explanation and a good, you know, supportive member of the single people, you know, to give a different perspective. Because you don't know. Maybe some people don't know what it's like to be in a relationship. And so an event like Rooted, that could help out a lot.
Yeah, Rooted goes hard. Rooted is amazing. I don't think they called it Rooted last year, though. Or I wasn't paying attention. But
you are paying attention. That's okay.
One of the things they also, just kind of fast forward to get to the topic at hand, is the value of scars and the ability to learn lessons from people that have been through what you've gone through, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how difficult that can be in a community that typically doesn't talk about their scars.
Okay.
You know, we can go macro and micro. From a macro level, everybody's living their best life. Everybody's traveling all across the world. Everybody is balling out of control. Everybody is making more money than they could ever dream of making in life, if you're judging from their social media page.
Yeah.
However, the nation is trillions of dollars in debt. So no, everybody's not balling. And employment has been at lows for a minute and is working its way back. But, I mean, let's keep it funky. So everybody's not just doing great.
Right.
But you look at social media and you just think, oh, well, yeah, everybody's straight.
Living their life like it's going. Right.
Yeah. So, no, that's a deception. On a micro level, just from a community standpoint, and I can only speak for the black community because I'm black, is we don't typically share or expose our issues. We historically probably don't seek counsel as much. I think counseling is almost a derogatory word in our community.
Almost.
It well, is.
It is. It's no almost to that.
Well, I was trying to play both.
Like, I mean, No. That's one thing about this podcast. Like, we talk about stuff that normally. And going back to the first topic, the reason why your initial thoughts lie, well, not my credit's not good. Because in the black community, it's not really. It's frowned upon to talk about credit, talk about finance, to educate about it.
Right.
So your initial reaction is to lie.
Yeah.
Ah. That came full circle. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So, okay, well, fuck it. Let's get to the shits then. So, I was trying to be all
nah, PC. Don't PC the podcast up now.
So here's the deal, man. In my opinion, in the black community, we do not communicate well with each other. We don't educate each other really about the shit that really goes on. We kind of try to portray this. We're doing fine and we're not emotionally distraught or dealing with these things when it would actually be pretty beneficial. Like, if you could openly talk about, like, what's going on with you internally.
Yeah.
That would help a lot of children or a lot of peers that are probably going through the same thing, but they're too ashamed to talk about it themselves. So the dialogue never happens and then we're just all fucked.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
I remember, a person said this. They were like, how many classes have you taken this week? And the meat of that sentence speaks to what skills are you developing? What mentorship are you getting? And mentorship doesn't have to be money. It doesn't have to be a business. It can be emotional. It could be relational.
Mm-hmm.
It could be spiritually. It could be whatever it is. Like, who are you getting guidance from? And we're a community that does not like to seek guidance.
Mm.
Or if we seek guidance, we don't like to openly talk and promote that we're seeking guidance because we look at it as something that takes away from us. Like, oh, they had to go get counseling, so they must not have it all together. Well, no, that motherfucker that's getting counseling probably has it more together than you because they're getting the information. They're educated on it.
Right. Yeah. And they have the opportunity to release whatever it is bothering them.
Yes.
And they're not holding it in. So that's a lot. That's just to speak on that, because that's the one place where a lot of stress comes from, because we don't give ourselves the opportunity to discuss what's going on in our lives that may be bothering us. You know what I'm saying? And we do have this bad idea of seeking therapy, but like everybody has in some shape, form, or fashion has some type of mental illness. It may not be as severe as schizophrenia or something like that, but it could be anxiety, stress, like all that, depression, like all that is some type of form of mental illness. And so like we, for whatever reason in our community, we choose not to address it with counseling. I mean, here's the thing about counseling too, because we may even be, in a sense, priced out of counseling because therapy is expensive.
Facts.
You know what I mean? And as much as it shouldn't be, you know, a barrier to seeking help, I mean, it kind of is one when you're thinking about getting help at a professional level. You know what I mean?
No, I 100% agree with that. So let's dial it back from professional, right? One of the reasons that this podcast exists is because of you two. Because when I was going through my shit, y'all were my counselors.
Yeah.
Facts. Y'all know everything.
Where everybody is buried.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Y'all know. But I mean, it's therapeutic.
Yeah.
So if y'all hadn't have been there for me at my lowest points, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I don't get to where I am mentally today. So I owe a lot of gratitude and a lot of debt to you guys. Like, I'm indebted to y'all more than I could ever pay y'all back. Right?
Okay. That's what's up.
So that's one of the reasons the podcast exists, because we can have these conversations amongst ourselves because we're comfortable with that. But hopefully that inspires somebody else to do the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if they're not putting it on the internet or anything like that.
Yeah.
They can do it amongst themselves. Like I just, my takeaway from that marriage counseling summit was that, like, there's a lot of value in actually exposing our scars and exposing, you know, our problems, our issues, because especially if you've already overcome it, because that's another thing. Sometimes people will overcome something and they act like they ain't never been themselves. Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where's the value in that? That's pointless.
That's a good point.
Like,
that's a good point.
You're not perfect, bro. Like, you've been through some shit.
Yeah.
And so there's value in you telling your story. There's value in that woman telling her story.
Yeah.
So what are we doing? What's the point of us actually going through this stuff if we're not going to share it with each other?
That's the question. I feel like, just based on what you're just saying, or just kind of just, I don't like saying piggybacking, but kind of just saying, going off of what you just said, I mean, your story and your experiences that you go through, I feel like are meant to be shared with other people.
Right.
Because, like you said, people go through certain stuff that y'all can share the same issue that y'all are going through, and y'all can help each other work through it, or you might have gone through it and you could help somebody else. Like, I don't think anybody's story here on earth is meant to be just kept to themselves. You know, like we kind of talked about on one episode, we were talking about Les Brown, you know, being in, you know, on earth for a reason.
Yeah.
And your reason is not just to just be in existence.
Right.
You know what I mean? But just because, you know, like your purpose in life may be to help somebody else. You know, Rock said that your purpose may not be to make $1 million or get rich off or whatever, but it may be here to share your experience and your story with somebody else and help them through whatever issues that they're going on through their life, You know what I mean?
Right. It just, I don't know, man. You kind of said it too, Jay. We don't talk about credit, right?
Yeah.
So I had this experience. I was talking, so once I started learning actually about how to handle money, because I don't the more I'm learning, the less I think that it's about actually having money. For a certain amount of people, yes, it is about, like, hey, you just don't have enough money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to move around a different way, you have to change certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for a mass majority of us, like middle class and up, our peers, I would just say that people that we're normally around, it ain't that we don't have enough money. We don't have money managing skills.
Yeah. And I was watching one of the late shows.
Mm.
And they were, you know, roasting Ben Carson because he does a lot of stupid shit. But he was on the show and he said, the reason why we have a poverty issue isn't necessarily money. It's that people in poverty have a mindset issue.
Mm.
And they were just like, nah, he's an idiot. But, and then he followed up with it. So if you take somebody who's wealthy and you take everything from them, but they keep their everything mental, their experiences, their work ethic,
they're going to get back.
In a couple of years, they'll be right back where they left off.
They're going to get back, yeah.
But if you give somebody in poverty, has a poverty mindset, all the money in the world, in a couple of years, they'll be right back.
They're going to get back.
And they were making fun of it, but no, that's real. And I'm not saying everybody in poverty has that issue, but for the vast majority of people, we don't have the understanding of money, of what credit is, of how to invest. So everything that we learn from our parents only by seeing, because it's something that our parents don't really talk about in most households. So you can only go by what you see. And you see on TV people living outside their means, and you see that's normal. You see it in your community, people living outside their means, and that's normal. So your normal is to be broke.
Yeah. Yeah, broke is normal.
So when you say that, you know, if people talk about their scars, you talk about the pains associated with making money.
Right.
The pains associated with the growth of changing your life, more people will be able to do it. Because the issue is, well, number one, people don't read. Because there are stories that are in books that show that story.
Yeah.
But that information is public, but the same level of access to it isn't there. with the same hunger for it. So I think that, yes, people need to talk about it, but also needs to be on other platforms. Because if we know as a country, 80% of the country doesn't read, then putting the information in books isn't necessarily the best
answer. It's not really helpful. Yeah.
So it's number one, the information needs to be out there, but number two, needs to be out there to where 80% of the country is looking at it. So right now, most people are okay with doing ebooks, with just listening, or they're okay with doing YouTube or things like that. So I think the folks need to have more of the right information on those platforms, and that also comes with us with putting the information out there. Because hell, it's a lot of stuff on this podcast that if I wasn't with y'all talking about it, I never would have said, probably never said it.
Yeah, that's a great. I agree with that.
And you know, there's,
go ahead.
So there's one thing that, you know, kind of just talking about this, I kind of thought about. Some people don't say nothing because they truly think that they're the only person going through it.
Yes.
You know, like I know when I was having issues, you know, in, you know, like past relationships and other stuff, or even situations I've had in my own marriage. You know what I mean? It's like you feel like you're the only one that's ever dealt with this situation, so nobody can really understand.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean?
But that's real.
But yeah, but it's real. And so, like, because the an issue I had growing up was what we're talking about, the willpower to express myself and what's bothering me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because one, I feel like nobody would understand. Nobody knew what I was going through. Nobody could relate. So it was like, and then I didn't want people in my business. So it was like, I would just internalize everything that I'm going through. And it's like, it would just harvest in me. Right. Mm-hmm. But once you realize that, like we kind of just touched on earlier, like other people dealt with the same shit that you dealt with. Yeah. Like when me and Ash went to marriage counseling, like before we got married, like they told us stories that we had already gone through in our relationship.
Right.
Let alone marriage. But it's like, you don't think people have been in your shoes. Like 9 times out of 10, like people have dealt with the stuff that you're too afraid to talk about.
Yeah. And it can be stupid stuff. Nigga, I feel like I was the only person who overdrafted.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I got you, bro. I'm good at it. I have been there, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like one thing that you know, were saying is not also what people don't want to say because they don't want people in their business. You have to have a safe place to say stuff.
Everybody can't know your shit.
Right, because even family and friends, you have to know who you're talking to, because some people will take information and sit on and use that as a weapon against you later.
Yeah.
So
I actually got a story for that, but go ahead.
Make sure that, you know, when you are talking to people, you know that number one, there's somebody who you can trust that you can go and fight in, let them know what's going on, and it's somebody who can also help you, because there's no point just telling somebody who has no answers.
Right. Oh, motherfucker. All right. Can I talk?
Yes.
You just hit me.
Yeah,
I feel like John. Oh, you just brought some shit up. Listen. Okay. Shit. You guys made so many points. Okay, J-Rock, first off, you brought up the point about the what was that? The Tonight Show?
Yeah. It was late night TV.
Late night TV, right. Yeah. So about you give somebody who's wealthy and take away everything from them, they're going to get back to where they were.
Right.
Right. In a couple years. Same thing with somebody that's poor. You give them everything. In a couple years, they're going to get back to where they were. And that's proven statistically.
Yeah, with lottery.
The lottery.
Yeah.
Right. So, and you made the point that, well, you know, now this isn't for everybody, but that's called exceptions. There's rules and there's exceptions.
Right.
The one out of 1,000, be like, no, this one person. Nigga, it's one. Right. Mm-hmm. That's an exception. The rule is, it's based off of behavior. To John's point, I think we would do well to realize that we aren't unique. I think in this society of individualism,
right,
mm-hmm.
where everybody wants to be special.
And everybody wants that spotlight.
Yes. And I think The Incredibles, love that movie, had a great line that everybody's special. That means nobody is.
Mm-hmm.
Because we think we're unique. We're not unique.
No,
we're not that unique. you know, God may have twisted one little thing about you. That's cool. And yeah. that's your quirk. That's whatever it is that you do.
All quirk.
Right? Yeah, I said that in there intentionally. But but for the most part, you would be incredibly naive to think that this world has been here for thousands and thousands of years and you the only one to go through whatever it is you're going through. Yep. That would be incredibly naive.
And selfish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's real self-centered and selfish. So there's value in that. But, oh, you said it. What was the thing that triggered me? You said something about family.
Oh, no. When you're talking to somebody, make sure that there's somebody who has an answer.
Yes. Okay. All right. So I made a post on Facebook that apparently got me in some hot water because I made the point that, okay, let me say it like this because I got to be mindful of
who listens to this podcast.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the deal. Someone said that, well, Rudy is a liar. And he never tells the truth. Right? And so they were basically saying that I was untrustworthy. Right? So nice. Like, yeah. Just laying it out there, right? So this message was given to people that I associate with.
Right.
Right. Let's just say family. This is family. Right?
So, okay, let's go.
So yeah, let's give it the shits. I'm tired of talking around this shit. Alright, so I made a post because I couldn't understand it. Because and I get where the sentiment came from. Because I would get a phone call and they would say, well, hey, how are you doing? I was like, I'm doing good. I'm doing all right, right? Now, I didn't tell them I just overdrafted. I didn't tell them that I'm going through a divorce. I didn't tell them that I'm sleeping at my homeboy's house or apartment on the floor. And tell them that. I'm good. Right?
Okay.
So the idea of, well, he never tells the truth came from that. That I wasn't being truthful about the angst and the pain that I was in.
Okay.
So you can't take him for what he says, because if he's going through something, he's not going to tell you he's going through something, right? That's where the sentiment came from. Because when I finally exposed that I went through that, they got mad.
Why?
Because I didn't come to them to tell them that I was going through. And they felt that I should have done that.
I mean, well, here's the thing. They asked a question. How are you doing? Good. I'm still alive. I still have my job. I'm still working. Mm-hmm. I'm in good health. Mm-hmm. I'm good.
Yes.
Worse a lie.
Okay, let's talk about
just
it.
Just because I don't... Okay, so I have an issue with that mindset. Because a lot of people live for negativity. They feed off of it. They need it because it makes them feel like, oh, I'm a little bit better. My life isn't in shambles. You know, in comparison to this person's negative, I'm a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm not saying that that's the case with what you're describing, but I know it's like when you tell people I'm good, okay. You have to say, how you doing? Oh, man, let me tell you about it. They get excited. Hmm. They perk up. They are ready to listen.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But when you say, oh, I'm good. Oh, okay, man, good for you. And keep on going.
They're actually less interested in why you're good.
Right.
They don't even care why you're good. Just you're like, good. Oh, you're good?
No.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm telling you. No, it's fine. I'm late from break. Go ahead.
Yeah, people are definitely more drawn to bad news than good news.
Right. So let's fast forward.
Yeah, go ahead.
I make a post on Facebook, and I just mentioned that basically, well, before I say the Facebook thing, this is what I was taught. I was taught that when you're going through something, you go to certain people to get out, to get the answers. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, you can't get the answers from everybody, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You don't tell everybody that you went through until you're out, because now it's a testimony. So now there's value in the scar.
Right.
Right. So now you can share it with everybody. So when they got mad at me was when I shared it with everybody, because I was in the house at that point. So I went from.
Oh, so you held this for years.
Yeah, I held this for a minute. Yeah. So I went from divorced, sleeping on the floor, the apartment floor of my homeboys, to establishing my foundation financially, building the credit, getting in a house, right?
Okay.
Then I told them, and they got mad. They was like, well, I'm so mad at you. Why would you not tell me that you was going through that? Well, okay. You necessarily weren't the person. Like, I don't care what your title is. Miss me with the titles. I care about what information you have. And so that was what the post was about. It's like, just because someone doesn't come to you and tell you that they're going through something or getting advice from you doesn't mean that they're a liar. What it means is they saw no value in what you may have been able to present to them at that time based off of the information you've given them thus far or what you've displayed to them so far.
Yep.
Because if I'm going through a financial issue, but yet every time I see you, you're splurging and you're complaining and you're not really doing, you're putting out into the atmosphere that things aren't good financially for you. Why would I come to you to talk about my financial issues?
You might get the wrong advice.
That's stupid.
Right.
I will go to the person that actually, but they were like, well, no, we're family. I'm your, so I need to know.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's a title. That does not necessarily mean that you deserve that information.
And what I will say, when your house is burning down, you're not looking to tell people, you're looking for water.
Make them thirsty.
You know what I'm saying?
What does that mean? This is fine.
Dog sitting at a bar, a whole bar on fire. He's like, sitting there with somebody. This is fine.
You know what I mean? It's like, no, nigga, my life is crashing down. I need help.
Yes.
I don't want to talk about it. I want to fix it.
Yes.
So, no, I get that.
Yeah, they got mad at me for the people that I went to because it wasn't them. That, like, I think they were more offended at the people I went to than the fact that I didn't tell them.
Oh, well, shit, they bad.
And that's...
That was crazy.
But that's almost expected. Because most family, you know, immediate, you know, they want you to come to them first.
See, no argument?
Yes.
And you know what I'm saying? Like, no matter what the situation is.
Right? Whether they can help you or not.
Right.
They feel like they should know. They shouldn't.
X or Y, Z person in your life. So if something happens, I should be the first phone call. So that makes complete sense to me.
See, that's entitlement to me. I'm not wrong with the entitlement. I'm not wrong with that.
No, I mean, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I understand it.
Yeah.
Like, come to you for what? For what exactly?
Like, why would I come to you?
Okay, so let me flip it, right? So let's fast forward. Hey, 10 years from now, no, let's say your daughter's 18, right? She gets into a problem. You may or may not have the answer, but she goes to someone else to fix it.
That's a good flip.
And you don't find out about it till 2 years later. Whether the issue is resolved or not, you're like, I'm dad. Why does dad have to find out this way?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's different.
So that's what it is.
Absolutely. But
when it, like I said, when it comes to family, it's not, I don't think it's necessarily the sense of entitlement. It's, I'm XYZ person in your life. Why does XYZ have to find out this way?
But on the same token, like, even though I expect her to come to me with everything,
yeah,
it's also unrealistic. Because I know she's gonna go to her mom for certain things. When she grows up and she's 18, but, you know, and you and your wife are one,
so that's, you know, you come to wife, the same thing as coming to me.
Not necessarily, because there may be stuff that my wife may find out about my daughter that I may not find out from her.
And I don't need to find out.
That probably is going to happen.
Yeah. You're talking about 18, there's going to be shit that she goes to her friends about. Because now you're talking about her getting older to where she's like, less reliant on her parents, and she's looking for self-validation from her peers now.
Right.
So there's going to be times where she goes to her friends for stuff. My nephew, one of them, he is getting to that age to where he's like more looking for like self-approval from his friends,
his peers.
Right. Yeah, so that's going to happen. Now, as the dad, of course, I'm going to want her to come to me with everything, but that's unrealistic. as much as I want her to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, that's what I forgot to say. The value of the scar. So this actually kind of started because as I started to learn about the little bit that I know, because I only know a little bit about money management.
Right.
Like I'm in my adolescence. Like I'm a kid learning this now. It's so much information out there. Yeah, I know a little bit, but the little bit that I know, I do share it openly. And I guess I kind of got to work on that because some people are like, have told me, well, you know, you may share too much, right? But my thought process through that, and again, I might need to refine that, is that if I'm transparent with you about what really happened and I'm not trying to dance around it too much, mm-hmm. I can actually get to the root of the message. Like, you can actually interpret it better.
Okay, so let me flip that. Because, no, I definitely agree with that. But when people say that, they're saying it because it's you. If they were paying for financial counseling for somebody who had a degree, who had a PhD, a doctorate, or whatever the case, or their own firm, and they were transparent and told them everything that was going on, would they say that?
Good point.
To kind of take the side of the other person, they probably just want also to be a kind of like a beacon to vent, right? Like, you may be going through something. They don't know if you're dealing with that internally or if you even talk to somebody about it. So I don't know. Another piece of it, it may not be necessarily that they're trying to be in your business more so than it is. They may just try to be an avenue for you to vent. So you can talk to somebody about it and maybe see it clearly.
Oh, you're doubling back to the... What's your family thing? Hmm? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm about to say, wait, what? Okay.
I'm with you. Not tie in.
I'm with you. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. No, I wasn't with you. Yeah, you're good. Go ahead.
No, you're good. Go.
Yeah, no, I thought you were tying back as to the PhD thing. As far as with the credit.
But, No, go ahead.
We're with you.
But no, I'm just saying they may look at it from a point that you just need to vent.
Yeah, but
yeah,
I feel that, and that's noble. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the thing, is like, I can only talk about me, right? So if you guys were going through something, right, and you did not tell me until after you came out, I wouldn't be offended, because I may not have been the right person to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
I may have no information on that, so mm-hmm. I could probably do more harm than good by talking to you.
Yeah.
No. So I'm not like, if y'all just told me something that happened 2 years ago and we've been rocking with each other for years, right?
Yeah.
I'm not offended. It doesn't really, like, the fact that you came out is what matters. I don't care how you came out. You came out.
Yeah. No. Hey, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's cool to think.
Were you about to pause that?
I was.
Yeah, I felt like you wanted to say pause. I don't care how you came out. You came out. I just felt like it's just a smile on his face just started.
Shit, I missed that.
Growing. I was like, what? I was like, he wants to pause that.
I missed that.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Nah, man. I don't know, man. It's I understand because I don't want everybody in my business still. But I mean, we do kind of need people we need to talk to, or there need to be people we need to talk to about certain stuff.
Yeah,
right. And it may not be the same person every time. You may be able to deal with a certain situation. Yeah. I may come to you with,
and actually, it shouldn't be the same situation person every time.
It really shouldn't.
Yeah, it shouldn't be,
because one person doesn't have every avenue of life mastered.
Facts.
So it to be honest, it should not be the same person every time.
Yeah.
And what I will say with your situation, I would get clarification on what it is that they want.
But they want a deeper relationship.
Like, so what I mean is, like, if stuff is going down, do they want to be the problem solver? Do they want to be the ear? That way you can have somebody to talk to. That way you have somebody to vent on, and you know that you're not getting an answer from. So
that's kind of productive.
I mean,
you said they wanted a deeper relationship. Do you not want that with that person?
Yeah. Mm. I could do it. That sounded forced.
Yeah.
I could do it. No, because I'm holding on some shit too, right?
this has been a issue for a while that's been brewing. So the attacks are just a little more aggressive now than they were previously.
Yeah.
I'm the type of person that I'm quick to forgive, and I don't want to be cliche and be like, but I don't forget, because that's always the thing. If yeah. I'm quick to forgive, but I never forget. Like,
right.
Like, yeah, you're whack. Listen, no, but I'm quick. I can get back to square one pretty fast. So we can have a fallout, and then, you know, we actually communicate and have a conversation, and we can bring it back to square one. I can do that relatively easily.
Okay.
However, I will say that, because you asked me, do I want a deeper relationship? If I'm being 1,000, I really don't care one way or another. Like, I'm good with that one either way, just because of the history. Like, I can't say that for every person.
Yeah.
Like, there's some people like I would fight for. Like, yeah. Like, I like, no matter what. We need to talk, bro. Like, we need to get this right.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, I don't want to say. Yeah, that sounds bad. I'm not gonna say it that way.
You gonna say other people bump them?
No. I was gonna say other people I don't see the same value in, but I don't mean that in like we're not equals. Like, we're still equals. They're the same as me. But it's some relationships that. There's a benefit. There's a clear cut benefit. You can see it, and you know that there's growth. Like, I know if I call Jay, and I come to him, and I confide in him, Jay's gonna give me some real shit. He's gonna give me a real opinion based off of what he knows to try to get me out. Right?
Mm.
There's some people in my life that I've talked to,
mm-hmm,
that have given me opinions that I don't know if they were necessarily to try to get me out as much as it was just to say something.
Mm. Yeah.
For the sake of talking.
Yeah, you have those people.
And when it comes to relationships, it's okay to let some go. Everybody in our life isn't meant to be in our lives forever.
Right.
Some people are only meant for just a season.
Right.
I'm not saying that person is just
no, a season. I don't know. I don't think
I'm
that.
Just saying, in general, you know, it's unrealistic to say that every friend I had in my life is always going to be my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I got a homeboy right now, dog, that was closer to me than both of y'all. And I haven't talked to him in 15 years. And I see him like he's in Dallas, right? And if I met up with him today, I probably have nothing in common with him. I would have nothing to talk to him about.
Mm. So what you're saying, me and Abe aren't going to make it.
That's what he's saying.
No, what I'm saying.
That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying.
No, what I'm saying is that like I have the brotherhood that I had with him.
Yeah.
I have with you guys, right? Now, I've had it with you guys longer than I've had it with him, because we were in high school. So as soon as we graduated, like, everybody
spoke. Yeah.
But I know, I had this kinship with him,
mm-hmm,
that if I met him today, like, we have nothing to discuss. And it would be stupid to just try to force that relationship.
Right.
And maybe that's another thing that maybe I'm just getting old. Like, but I'm tired of forcing relationships. My brother told me something this week. He was like, 100% of the people, nobody has a 100% approval rate. Right?
Mm.
And he was like, well, you just want everybody to like you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I laughed because, like, I was like, clearly you don't listen to this podcast. Because I really don't. There's a lot of trimming the fat. Like, I don't think we care. I think we are too loose with the people that we associate with. Like, I really don't have, I don't have to keep people around. Like, if I'm with somebody and I'm helping them and they're helping me and we're growing together, that's a person I'm going to keep around. I want to keep that person. But if it's just somebody just keeping them around for the sake of keeping them around,
yeah,
and there's no benefit either way, like I'm not helping them and they're not helping me, why am I fighting for them? I could care less about 100% approval rating.
Yeah,
I'm trimming a team.
Yeah. Well, since Facebook, people use the word friend way too loosely.
That's true. I've caught myself doing it. Yeah. I had to slow down.
I did it too. I'm guilty.
Because half the people that you say your friends, you don't even know these people.
They not your friends.
Nah. You try to validate. Yeah, no, I know them from such and such. Right. Oh, yeah, no, we went to school together.
I accidentally called somebody a friend that I know is not my friend. But, you know, the way we're programmed, we say friend.
Yeah.
That nigga flipped. He flipped on me. That nigga spazzed on me. He was like, that's your friend? That's your motherfucking friend? Like, that nigga went off. I was like, might have went too far.
Wait, hold on. The dude that you called a friend spazzed on you?
No. The dude I was talking to, I called somebody else a friend.
Yeah.
Oh, right? Shit.
And he just lost his shit.
He was like, there's no way you can be friends with this bum-ass nigga.
Yeah, he's like, there's no way you're friends the way that you talk about that person and treat that person. Is like he, that nigga spazzed on me.
Well, I need that lost tape, damn
like,
it.
he went in. I was like, yeah, a friend might be a little strong.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's society. It's the way society programs us to think.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Was there anything else you learned from Rooted?
No. I think the main thing was just, like, we need to share our experiences. If not with a professional and get their help, then at least with each other, at least with people that can probably help give us the guidance that we need. I think the point is we need to seek some sort of mentorship, whether it be counseling or whether it be just somebody who's succeeded in something you're working on. Because you're not unique. There is not anything that you want to do in life. There is a book somebody wrote somewhere that you can literally Google, go to the library and learn that. So anyway.
Yeah. No argument. No argument there. So. I want to check that conference out next year. Just throwing it out there.
Oh yeah, you're invited. Y'all both invited.
Man, that's what's up. You guys got any thoughts on this topic? Which was actually a really good topic. Hit us up on our social media: Speak Between the Lines, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Do we got movie quotes?
No, but I do need a cosign.
Cosign what?
I need one of these supporters of the show to cosign me.
Oh, we trying to get another house.
I need another whip.
Oh, this nigga.
Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah. Somebody calls on my car. Okay, cool. So, movie quotes. All right, so it's going to be Ave and J-Rock.
Yes, sir.
All right, so that one's a little too easy. Okay, here's one. That's too easy. Oh, this is a classic. I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Color Purple?
Mm-mm. This is before your time.
Black Man?
No. This is one of the most glorified comedies of all time. It's a satire. It's a parody movie.
Oh.
Scream?
Look, go back a couple of decades.
Oh.
Shit.
Babes.
Keep going.
I have no idea.
Airplane, 1980. It was Liam Neeson. Not Liam Neeson. Yes.
Go ahead, Abe.
Airplane?
Yeah.
That's the name of the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Nah.
Yeah, nah. Tell me, I'll say you got that.
Nah, I didn't get that one.
I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way. Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yep.
I was trying to think of a movie that were cartoons, but I couldn't think of any.
That was good.
Right, yeah, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Stupid is a stupid does.
Dumb, Dumb and Dumber? Dumb,
yeah.
Y'all both wrong.
Stupid.
It's not Dumb, Dumb and Dumber?
No.
Oh, no. Hold on. No, it's not that movie.
Stupid Forrest is. Gump. Yes.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm about to say. He said Dumb, I just tried to beat him to it. Dumb, Dumb and Dumber.
Damn, Forrest Gump.
Yeah,
yeah. Shit. Mama says stupid is a stupid does.
Yeah, I know.
Let's see. Game over, man. Game over.
Space Jam.
Mm-mm. Horror classic.
Frankenstein.
Fast forward a couple decades.
You said a couple of decades.
You know this movie.
Yeah, I don't
Game over, man. Game over had a female lead. one of the best action sci-fi movies of all time.
I don't rock with horror, so I have no idea.
Who was the director of that movie? James Cameron directed this movie.
That did nothing. It was a female lead?
Mm-hmm. Aliens.
Yes, Aliens.
James Cameron's all I needed. James Cameron horror, I'm in there.
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Oh, Back to the Future.
Nah. Alice in Wonderland. No, Wizard of Oz.
Would you like to guess again? It was actually Back to the Future.
I just wanted to see what he was saying.
That nigga said.
Well, I thought, like, wait, why is he playing this?
Oh my god,
the DeLorean, baby.
Oh man. Oh, this is actually pretty modern. We're not gonna get this one, but I just want to say it for kicks.
Okay.
I'm just one stomach flu away from reaching my goal weight.
I'm one stomach flu away from reaching my goal weight. The fuck?
Women will get this one.
I have no idea.
The Devil Wears Prada.
Okay, yeah.
Like, nigga. Chewie, we're home.
Star Wars, New Hope. Mm-mm. No, not New Hope. Fuck. What's the subtitle for it?
Chewie, we're home. Come on, John.
Stop helping this nigga.
Don't come on, John.
all right, so episode, let's see. Start back.
The Awakening?
Force Awakens.
Yes.
Force Awakens. He didn't say Force. He said Awakens, nigga. It's the Force Awakens.
The same thing. That's the only subtitle I can think of. I don't know any other Star Wars movie.
Oh, man. That's funny. Okay.
This is whack.
Oh, my God. I'm just going to do off the dome because some of these shits is whack. Let me think of a movie that I like. I got nothing.
I ain't got none either.
Rocky Shoe Art. Frame, nigga. Shoe Program, nigga.
Training Day.
Okay.
King Kong ain't got nothing on me.
Still Training
Day. Yeah, it's still Training Day.
I like Denzel. All right. Let's go ahead and jump out of this one.
Yeah. Anyway, that was whack.
What episode is this?
I don't know.
17. We got 3 more episodes of this. Okay. All right. I'll hang in where I can.
Yo, honestly, you need to do all the movie quotes. Yippee-ki-yay,
from here on motherfucker. Out, from here on out, yeah, I'm doing all the movie quotes. I'll come with them. All right. Anyway.
Bruce Willis.
Which one?
The first one.
What was the name of the movie?
Oh, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. It was Carl Williams. I was in it. It was in the towers. It was Christmas time. Die Hard.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The first thing we're going to do is plug this hole.
Holes.
In the podcast. All
right, it's your boy J-Rock in the building.
Deep Blue Sea, nigga.
Oh, yeah.
Right before the shark ate. A shark ate me.
King Ave. Is out of here.
Yes, King Ape is out of here. All right, Rez, man, we out.
Speak between the lines, we out of here.
Why, we just have no energy at the end of this.
Yeah, man, I don't know what's going on.
All right, let's go ahead and redo that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
This your boy, King Ape.
J-Rock.
I don't care.
Speak between the lines, we out of here.
All right, we out.